This is Ethan Winterovich, sales agronomist with CHS Ag Services at Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Melissa Hammer. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline is brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, and Amity Technology. Farmers in the Bottineau, North Dakota area are still finishing up their wheat and canola. Dakota Agronomy Partners location manager Darren Jance says guys are a little behind due to weather.
Most of our small grains and canolas getting wrapped up here. We haven't really started on soybeans yet, but once we get going on that, that shouldn't take but a couple weeks, and then we should be wrapping things up. The yields have been really good, but the protein is down a little bit on it. So with commodity prices, still kind of making for a little bit of a harder year for the farmers, I believe.
Canola yields are looking good.
Been excellent yields on that. So that's going to be a good crop for them this year. Color and everything looks pretty good. So soybeans are looking good. I guess time will tell once we get into the field with combine and those. So, but for now, they look pretty good.
In the Kennedy, Minnesota area, Tom Dowdle says the soybeans he's harvested has been variable within the field.
Well, we got into soybeans here 3 days ago. We took a seed production field off, and that was it was a 474-acre field, one big field. And it varied widely in yield from the north to south because of soil types. We were pushing on the north end, the good soil, from 55 to over 65 plus. And on the poor ground, we got down to the south end, the yields dropped off to probably, 40 to 55, somewhere in there, just varied because of soil type.
And Dowdle says sunflowers mostly look good.
For the most part, they didn't drown out in any low ditches from midsummer. We had a couple big rains midsummer, late summer. The heads have filled pretty much to the middle. I'm hoping the test weight's going to be good because we've had adequate moisture for them. We noticed a little bit this year on the edges of some of our fields, sunflower fields right on the edges, there's some midge damage with the heads knobbing off and not producing any seeds. That gets me a little bit concerned, I guess, for the following year. We maybe could see that more widespread. I remember quite a few years ago when that happened, but the acreage was dramatic back then. Everybody had sunflowers, and the next year they planted more acreage yet, and the midge came in and decimated most everybody's fields.
Soybean harvest well underway near St. Cloud, Minnesota. Nick Peterson says the weather has been ideal for harvesting crops this year.
Harvest is in full swing in a lot of ways. I know there's a lot of beans being harvested here in the last week, and it continues in all the dry weather. And there's no sign of rain in the forecast, so there should be no delays. I think it seems like yields, from what I'm hearing from others on the bean side, is probably above expectations. Things have dried down fast. There's a lot of cases of where the beans don't quite look ready, and there's some leaves on them yet, but that the beans themselves are plenty dry, or 10% or less even.
The corn is not dried down yet.
There has been some corn taken out, some wet corn. I haven't heard of any dry corn going, but some have started drying corn, and kind of mixed reports, on yield there from what I've heard. So it was a tough summer, an interesting summer, I should say, with a lot of leaf diseases in the corn, which has kind of led to some cannibalization and early death. So there's a lot of corn that's starting to look ready, but probably mid-20s or more on as far as how wet it is.
Colgate, North Dakota's Jason Muses is almost finished up with dry bean harvest.
Overall, I would say our crop yields have been average to above average on the edible beans. I would say about 75 to 80% done with both the edible beans and the soybeans. And I have not seen any corn coming off in our area yet, but I would imagine in the next week to 10 days, a few guys will be out trying that.
Muse says the soybeans have taken a bit of a hit from the weather.
We've seen some really good soybeans, and then we've also seen some that were a little disappointing. And we were in a fairly dry pocket all summer in that really played a factor in some of the disappointing yields for us.
American Crystal Sugar has delayed the start of their full harvest campaign by at least a couple of days. General Agronomist Joe Hastings says a tentative start is being scheduled for 12:01 a.m. Thursday.
Thing is, our ground is heated up so warm, it takes a while for that to kind of calm down and equalize too with air temperatures, even with some cooler air coming. Maybe not in the 80s anymore, but gosh, there's still, threat of 70s. But we need some good nighttime lows to drop that ground temp. We want to be in that range to get, 50, 55 to start these piles. We got to do it right. We've geared up so we can pile a lot of beets in a hurry, right? And made those investments. And we just got to make sure we're putting them in the pile correctly, or otherwise you could end up with a big mess.
And a Thursday start is not etched in stone, with the ag staff continuing to monitor soil and root temperatures.
It may be a probable startup at that time frame, 12:01 a.m. on a Thursday, but here's the but. We got to continue to reevaluate that, make sure that holds. We're going to reevaluate that again tomorrow and get another update out to growers to see, are we still on track for something like that, or do we have to change?
MINDAC Farmers Cooperative has delayed the start of their full harvest campaign until at least this weekend. In a statement, Vice President of Agriculture Mike Metzger says the ag staff will meet again Thursday to determine if there is an opportunity to start main harvest this weekend, and will be closely monitoring the temperatures as the extended forecasts solidify. Harvest Hotline brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and the North Dakota Mill.
The National Association of State Departments of Agriculture honored former USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey with its Ambassador's Circle Award. Northey also served as Iowa's Secretary of Ag from 2007 to 2018. The award will now be known as the Bill Northey Legacy Award. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. USDA's quarterly stocks numbers coming in below average trade guesses. Old crop corn ending stocks at 1.76 billion bushels. The average trade guess was at 1.85 billion. Soybean ending stocks at 342 million bushels, with the average trade estimate 354 million bushels. And the all wheat stocks coming in at 1.98 billion bushels.
USDA's quarterly stocks number coming in lower end of the trade guesses with a somewhat muted response. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops says corn had the biggest reaction.
We rallied during harvest, probably the second harvest we have had so far, rallied all the way up into some resistance, but taking out the July 24th resistance highs. I think this was the highest we traded since early to mid-July for December corn. So that market having a pretty good rally off of these stocks numbers. Quarterly stocks, 1.761 billion for corn, at the very low end of trade guesses, and nearly 90 million, 85 million below the average trade guess. So pretty big miss by the average guess. And I think we've come in below the average guess in 8 out of the last 11 years now for corn.
Hoops says we will replenish the corn and soybean supply very quickly with this season's crop.
We're harvesting a really large crop right now. We're going to replenish any stocks deficits here pretty quickly. Now, maybe these quarterly stocks numbers are a little bit tighter because of strong ethanol demand, possibly strong usage for feed because cattle weights and hog weights have increased. These animals are gaining more weight than what we're accustomed to, so we're probably using more feed usage there, that's a pretty big drawdown. That's the positive number for corn.
Total Farm Marketing market analyst Naomi Bloom says the grains markets saw some ripples from today's quarterly stocks report, but there wasn't enough in it to cause any waves.
So it was enough news today to give corn and beans a little bit more of a lift, but they're still range-bound on charts, where December corn has some very extreme overhead resistance at 425 on the board. And so with the market hitting 425 today, that's probably a lot of $4 cash sales that also were triggered. And I would imagine we're going to see a lot of farmers selling on this. So, the report today, supportive, not bullish, nothing over the top friendly, enough to justify this price action that we've seen lately as far as the firmer prices. But in my opinion, the news that we got today was not enough to take us to the next level.
Bloom says bigger news will be needed to move the markets any further.
For prices to go even higher from here, we need to see friendly news in the form of more bad weather in Brazil, meaning dry weather. We would need to see the value of the U.S. dollar go down. So nice little lift here today. Just an opportunity, I think, for folks to get a little bit more current with cash sales.
2024 all wheat production totaled 1.97 billion bushels, up 9% from 2023 in the small grain summary. Area harvested for grain totaled 38.5 million acres, up 4% from a year ago. And USDA says the average wheat yield estimate, 51.2 bushels per acre.
Longshoremen at East and Gulf Coast ports are set to strike tonight at midnight. United States Meat Export Federation Vice President of Communications, Joe Sheely, says this would cause serious disruptions to pork exports.
You're talking about a lot of added cost. And so for pork, 45% of our waterborne exports go off the East or Gulf Coast. And that makes sense because we produce a lot of pork in the eastern part of the country. And so it's most efficient to move it out of those ports. It can be held in storage, or you can try to divert it to the West Coast, or you can sell it into the domestic market. But none of those are good options. They're all going to involve likely a pretty good financial hit.
Syngenta Group has added new artificial intelligence technology to its CropWise program. This system provides agronomic expertise, including seed placement, predictive modeling, and disease management. CropWise AI is available to select customers in the U.S. and Brazil. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Tar spot has been confirmed in all three states in the region this year. South Dakota has a whopping 41 counties that have seen tar spot. South Dakota State University Extension plant pathology specialist Madeline Shires says this fungal disease can be problematic.
It's a little bit problematic because a lot of times it doesn't show up until a little bit later in the season, and so you might not have even a need to apply fungicide, but if it does become really severe, you also may not have the option to apply fungicide. In other areas of the U.S., such as Indiana and Michigan, they've seen where tar spot can really cause a minimum of a 60 bushel per acre yield loss when infections are severe. So that's kind of why I think all of us here, you know, in this general area are really trying to keep an eye on it, because we don't want it to become established and start causing those types of yield losses.
Shire says reducing the disease in the environment can help reduce the likelihood of tar spot becoming an issue for corn yields.
We've been really recommending that farmers get out and scout. It looks like a small little black paint splatter or ink splatter on the leaf. You can see the fungal lesions on the top and the bottom of the leaf, and that's a good way to know that that's not rust, it's not insect grass, it's definitely tar spot. We will be recommending here in South Dakota, because we have a lot of no-till farmers, that they potentially consider managing their corn residues this year if they're in an affected county. Managing residues doesn't help reduce tar spot that much, but it might help break the disease cycle between managing the residues, and most of our farmers rotate into soybeans next year.
December wheat Minneapolis is up 13 cents at 621 and a quarter. December wheat Chicago up 4 1/4 cents, 584 and a quarter. Kansas City's December hard red winter wheat's up 6 1/2 cents, 583 and a quarter. Looking at corn, December corn up 6 1/2 cents, 424 and a half. March up 6 1/4, May up 5 3/4. November soybeans down 6 1/4 cents to 1059 and a half. January down 5, now 6 cents. March down a nickel. In Winnipeg, November canola is up $2.90 per metric ton, 603.80 Canadian. And looking at cattle, October live cattle down 2 pennies, 183.72. December is up a dime. February is up 7 cents. October feeders down $1.15 to 245.92. November down $1.15 as well. January feeders down $1.32. October lean hogs up 12 cents. December down 10. This is the Red River Farm Network.